In the last episode, I spoke to Nathan, a Leave supporter for the EU referendum. He spoke to me about why he believes we should leave, and why he thinks that the UK is better off out of the European Union. In this episode, we're talking to Kieran Lewis, a Remain supporter and a politics graduate from Cardiff University. He talked to me about why he voted Remain and what ramifications it may have on our futures. Welcome back to Think Tank. Here's Kieran's story. My first question is, what were your main key reasons for voting Remain?
So, I've always believed, personally, that the EU is an organisation that really benefits the UK. So, the main reasons for me supporting Remain tend to be the fact that Europe, or being a member of the EU, offers us so many opportunities in terms of like economic opportunities. So many jobs depend on it in some way or the other. And it's not just like the sort of scare tactics that the Remain campaign is often characterised as exhibiting. It's more a fact of literally the smallest things and in the smallest ways that the EU has helped Britain in day in, day out, really, for the last 40 years. And I think the second thing is that it provides so many opportunities, so not just employment-based ones, but outside of that. So, for example, Erasmus as like a programme. And I think as well, just that feeling that you're part of something bigger and you can contribute to it.
Are you surprised at the result?
Well, I'd like to say I am surprised at it, but I'm not really. I had that feeling a few months ago, talking to quite a few people who were more sympathetic to the Leave campaign, and yeah. I was getting that feeling that there was this divide, and the people who voted Leave are more likely to have voted anyway because it's the subject they care more about. If you voted Remain, you tended to be, or if you supported Remain, not necessarily voted for it, you probably would not vote for it because you probably think, well, no one's going to vote Leave, but ultimately it did happen. We have to sort of think about how to move forward from it.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think? What do you think of the campaigns? There's a lot of allegations about the Leave campaign having a lot of sort of fabrication and quite a few lies, misleading people. What do you think of the Leave campaign? How do you think they did?
I think
worked.
The Leave campaign, I was absolutely disgusted. Now, it's not because I don't agree with every point. It's not that. It's more a case of, I felt they focused very much on immigration and then sort of referring to like this lost country or something where people could see that this clearly wasn't the case. And they sort of thought about, oh, let's just divide and conquer and stir up tensions where it was really not necessary to stir things up. And I think the main problem with the Leave campaign is they spent half the time making people doubt everything, and they fed on that insecurity in quite a ridiculous way. And as I say, like, it's not just the Leave campaign's fault. I think the Remain campaign also played a little bit on the fears of people, and I think it alienated quite a lot of people because they saw that these campaigns were happening, and half the time it just seemed to reduce itself into childish bickering.
So one of the things I spoke to with my last guest on the last episode was about the funding that the EU gives us. And the main one I'm quite passionate about and interested to see what happens is the funding for cancer research and science. So I think the statistic was, so 41% of our cancer research funding has come from the EU over the last decade, which is about, I want to say 185 million or something. And we get billions as well for science as well. So do you think that now that we've left, will we get that back? Will
our government subsidise that? I am very skeptical about the government being able to subsidise that amount. So we're in a time where cuts are being made constantly to budgets, and things like science and research are getting cut quite disproportionately because they're easy targets in some ways. So that's my first concern. My second concern is that although we will probably not lose all of that funding, we will lose the main proportion of it. And it is quite a big amount. It's playing with people's lives. And quite frankly, it's kind of, I think that the science case was not made as strong as it could have, as strongly as it could have been. And I think this is ultimately going to be a regret, really, of many Remain campaigners. And I think, really, the main losers here are people who rely on that life-saving research.
What sector or who do you think is going to suffer the most from leaving the EU in this country?
It's hard to say, but I think the main people that will suffer are actually those who don't realise the effect the EU has on their everyday lives. It's the people who perhaps work in sort of small medium sized businesses that did have reservations about the EU and some of the red tape and that type of thing. But ultimately, once some of those protections have gone, they will probably start to notice that things aren't as good as they perhaps have been. And I think when it gets to that point, people will really start to regret if they perhaps voted leave. And I think really we've been saddled with something that is going to have a long-lasting effect and is not going to be easy to get ourselves out of.
Come out in the news, some people voted leave as a protest vote and actually regret their decision. What do you think of that, that tactic and that occurrence? And do you think we should have a second referendum is possible?
I'm going to start with the question about the second referendum.
Okay.
I personally don't think that a second referendum should be introduced or proposed. The main reason for this is it kind of sets a dangerous precedent that if the will of the people, which in this case is voted leave, is overturned, that's going to make a lot of people very angry.
Yeah.
And that's going to increase the types of protest votes you've seen. So with regards to the first part of the question, I really think it's completely understandable that people would have voted leave as a protest against government. Personally, I believe that the way the referendum shaped was very much government bashing, and really that's not saying anything about the problem. I think the EU is in some ways quite a separate issue to just the everyday in and out of British politics, and it's really something that has not been fully understood. In terms of the second referendum again, it probably wouldn't be a referendum on should we remain or leave in the EU. But I think it would be possible just to have one that would agree to or disagree to the terms of Brexit.
That brings me on to David Cameron. What do you think of Cameron's resignation, and what do you think the future holds for the government?
I was not very surprised that David Cameron resigned on that result. I think he had a lot of confidence in Remain winning comfortably.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he's in some ways done a good thing in distancing himself and accepting that this is not what people want. He's not the best person to deliver it because it's not really what he's campaigned for. But in some ways, a lot of people were perhaps feeling a little bit betrayed because in some cases he did say that he would be there to sort of steer the ship. But now it's kind of opened up a whole can of worms. Which has, in some ways, reduced the credibility of the government, because seeing pretty much half the cabinet campaigning one way and half the other, it's actually made people think, well, there's no discipline here. There's not really any structure, and I feel that we're in a time of flux. So, not just with the government, really, in terms of like the opposition and problems within the Labour Party in particular, which will have an effect on the government as the opposition seems to be quite fundamentally weakened at this point in time.
At the moment, it's looking like Theresa May is going to win and be the new Prime Minister in October. Do you think there should be another general election, or do you think she's just going to stay until 2020?
I think that she should probably wait a few months just as a transitionary thing, just as a transitionary period until the start of next year, and then call election at that point. Because the danger with calling a snap general election is people have not had time to just take a step back from what's happened.
Yeah.
And I think people will vote not really thinking through their decision, but just on their emotional response, without sort of carefully considering all the facts and what each party has on offer. And I think really we do need to capture the amount of engagement that we've had with the EU referendum campaign again, but there needs to be time to build that momentum and just reconnect with people and find out what they actually want from the government. Because I feel it is very easy for politicians to say, oh yes, we are of the people. So for example, Nigel Farage, but then you actually realise, you know, Nigel Farage is not a man of the people. His background is certainly not what someone might describe as just an ordinary person. I really think a snap general election would not be ideal, but then staying until 2020 would be excessive and perhaps would annoy quite a lot of people and make the situation worse, maybe.
What do you make of the other countries' responses to us leaving the EU?
It's been very mixed, in all honesty. I think the hand that's being played right now is we want to make it seem like this is not going to like set us back too far, but also acknowledging that Britain is quite an important partner to have in a lot of respects, in terms of what we can offer, in terms of trade and skills. But ultimately, I think a lot of European countries are quite upset about it, the fact that they have literally tried everything, and they were willing to listen, and then it's kind of felt that they've been stabbed in the back, perhaps. And ultimately, they'll probably be annoyed because the UK has never really been active at all within the EU. They've always taken a backseat role in some ways. So while having a key say in many decisions, they've not really engaged the process. And I think in some ways I think they probably won't miss that annoying reluctance, but at the same time, they will miss having the gravitas that is added when you have the UK at the table.
In regards to the Leave campaign, a lot of people voted Leave because of immigration. Do you think immigration will actually change that much?
I am very sceptical about the premise of immigration claims in the first place. So ultimately, it is very unrealistic to reduce immigration by the figures that were proposed in 2010 by the Conservatives. I think that's ultimately where the first problem was. The second thing is immigration really is not as big a thing as everyone seems to assume it is. So someone actually released, I think they actually self-published their own advert for a newspaper, and it showed on a pie chart how something like 0.5% of the population change, which is impacted upon by immigration. So 0.5% out of a whole 100% is quite literally nothing.
Yeah.
And I think there's been a lack of perspective. And I think really there's been sort of a time that there's been so many immigrants coming in that are abusing systems here. And really, it did not take sight of any of the facts at all. in terms of net contributions to that, migrants from the EU actually contribute more than they take out of the welfare system, for example. But going back to your point specifically, I don't think immigration is really going to change that much at all. So it might reduce it maybe by a very insignificant amount, but ultimately I think in this day and age, it is going to be something that is going to stay quite high. But people shouldn't necessarily be scared of this. They should sort of accept that the world is changing, and as part of that, immigration is going to be something that will be enough. I think it's really a case of how you engage with it. Because if you engage with it positively, you can be quite constructive. But if there's that us and them mentality, which quite a few people in the Leave campaign seem to propagate, then that will not lead to a positive outcome at all and could lead to so many problems in years to come.
One of the points that my last guest made was about immigration.
Okay.
He said that now that when we leave the EU, we'll be able to be a lot more... We'll have the opportunity to be more stringent with our... with basically who we let in the country.
Right.
So his point was, we can, you know, anyone who's a criminal or tax avoider, we won't let them in. We'll only let the people who are really qualified.
Right.
What do you make of that statement? Do you think that's going to happen? Do you reckon that's going to be a good thing? Or is that... What do you make of that?
I feel that it's in some ways slightly misguided. Now, the reason I say it's slightly misguided is the first part, which is to do with criminals. Now, the UK actually already has a veto on people with a criminal record coming in. And if there are significant enough concerns, they can block someone coming into the country. And also, what should be pointed out is, I think what a lot of Leave campaigners seem to forget is the UK is not in the Schengen zone at all, the free movement area. We actually still have some say over it. But I really think that we can't really put in a more stringent system because it may work in other countries. But I think really in the UK, once we start doing that, we kind of seem to close the gates a little bit. And a lot of people should probably remember that in the 1960s, when you had a lot of immigration from Commonwealth countries, it was not seen, it wasn't really seen as much of a problem by many people. Of course, there were social divisions with certain riots taking place, but ultimately, I think we've got this thing where Britain, you know, if you want to come and make some stuff, then Britain should be an option. And I think we need to, in some ways, be a bit more like the US in saying that, you know, it's part of what makes our country great is that we can sort of allow people to reach their potential and, you know, make something of themselves. And I really think that putting more stringent controls on immigration is not going to be a positive step to make at all.
In terms of so a lot of Leave campaigners talked about unelected Parliament in the EU, and this has sort of been tossed around in the news quite a lot. And my last guest talked about the EU Parliament just being ceremonial, and that it was unelected leaders. What do you make of that? Do you think that's something is that a good point? Is it have we escaped from an unelected Parliament?
So having taken a course in the European Union, so I've done a lot of work on the structures and processes behind how the EU works.
Oh, you're a perfect guest for this.
And actually, the talk of unelected bureaucrats is utter nonsense. So I'll explain this because the EU can seem like it's this huge behemoth that you can't really explain away. But the fundamental part is there are three parts to the EU that have like the most important role. And in all of these, so two of them are ministers and appointees from the government of the country you're in. So if you vote for, say, Party A here, they can choose who sits in the council and the commission. So there is the choice there. and those have quite significant roles. The Parliament, as we are all aware, it does get elected directly by people. It's actually done on a lot fairer system than UK general elections are run on. That's another point to make there. And really, each part of the EU process, it's meant to be so. It's like America. You can block something quite easily. And in some ways, this means you've got time to make improvements and make things better. And in the UK system, there's not enough of that. And I really think a good feature of the EU is that there is that time to sort of think and reach compromise. And it's not like unelected people. It is people that have been appointed by governments that have been elected by people in Europe. And really, it's nonsense to say that the Parliament is merely ceremonial. Because they do have an important say in things. Like, I'm not saying it's a perfect system. Like, you know, there are things that are quite severe problems with it. But there has been, in recent years, a move to try and improve the powers of the Parliament and rebalance things so people feel I've got a more direct say in it. And I think the UK hasn't had the patience in thinking about this process.
Now that we've left, do you think this is going to cause other EU countries to have their own referendum and potentially try and leave the EU?
I think it probably won't. It will probably have actually scared a lot of national governments from holding referendums of that nature, because they've seen that, like, David Cameron's gamble did not pay off at all. And they will be wary of doing something that perhaps might threaten stability. So we've seen already, like, things like the drop in the pounds, which has been recovering. But a lot of other countries in the EU who are actually a lot more closely integrated know that there is so much more at stake if they left the organisation. And I think that the EU itself will sort of reflect on this and be like, okay, what reasons were there for the UK dropping out? And I think they'll take some of that on board and perhaps look at it in more detail. Something else that they should think about is that Britain has always been the awkward partner. We've always struggled to fit in, really. So that a lot of people who perhaps remember that Margaret Thatcher and her negotiating style in Europe, I feel that the UK has always adopted that stance. And actually, the EU might be a bit relieved that they don't have to accommodate this and they can move forward, but taking on board the genuine concerns people have.
To summarise, what do you think the future holds for our country and our recovery, and for the EU as a parliament?
Right. I'm going to start with the question of the EU. So I think the EU will do one of two things. It will either completely slow down and kind of become a lot more insular and look inside itself a little bit more, or it will move forward with things and it will move forward with things at a more rapid pace. So that's what I feel the direction the EU is going in would be. In terms of the future of the country, I must admit I'm not very optimistic. I think that we've opened up quite dangerous divisions in our society. These divisions are not going to easily heal, and they are going to be a sticking point for many people. And I really think that we're seeing it now, and people are less optimistic about the prospects here. And that's going to ultimately have a very adverse effect on people. And in terms of recovery, we'll probably get back to somewhere near where we were before. We'll still be able to trade and all that, but we will have alienated so many people. And I think we will continue to feel this for years to come, and we'll never reach that level we might have done if we were still a member of the EU and Brexit hadn't happened.
So, that's Kieran's story, and that's why he voted to remain. A very different opinion to Nathan. Now, obviously, both of these are just one person's opinion, and other people may have very different views. If you've got a different opinion to why you voted leave or remain, do contact us. You can record a voice message on Skype. Our Skype name is Think Tank Podcast, no spaces. Or you can tweet us at thinktank_pod, or Facebook us at thinktankpod, all one word. I've done my best to keep all these interviews impartial. When making this podcast, I didn't want to sound biased, despite having my own views. What do I think for the future of the country? I do think it looks uncertain. I think leaving the EU is very risky, and I think it's going to happen no matter what. I don't see us having a second referendum, and I would like to think that the government have got a good plan for the future. However, as students, we're in a vulnerable position, and we have no idea what's going to happen. The chances of us graduating and working in an unstable economic climate, I feel, are quite likely. It's hard to predict the future right now, but perhaps later in the year, when we get the new Prime Minister, we'll revisit this. Think Tank is a free and independent podcast available to stream and download on iTunes, Mixcloud and SoundCloud. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Think Tank is produced by me, and music is by Francis Lindgren. Make sure you check him out on SoundCloud. Think Tank is in association with Cardiff Student Media. Go to cardiffstudentmedia.co.uk for more information.